What's up, everybody? This is another episode of the Big One Podcast. We are coming to you from the locale location, and we are going to be bringing you all of the motorsports that we always do. We are largely going to be talking NASCAR, which is our main focus of this episode. We might dabble in a little bit of Formula One. We may dabble in a little bit of IndyCar. But let's get right into this thing. We are the Big One Podcast. You can email us, podcastbigone@gmail.com, and you can always tweet us at podcastbigone. We've got a major sponsor this week. We have got Optima Batteries sponsoring the Happy Hour at the Beer Garden. We are also sponsoring IIAV over in Munich, Germany. This is a big one, guys. This is a major motorsports supplier. We are putting batteries in cars all over the world. So let's get into it this weekend. We are at Bristol Motor Speedway for the NASCAR absolutely massive triple header weekend, and we are coming at you live right now ahead of the Thursday night truck race. Let me repeat that again. We are going truck racing on a Thursday night. A little bit of recap for the rest of the weekend. We've also got an ARCA race that already happened today. We have an Xfinity race on Friday. And we've got your Bristol Saturday night race for the Cup Series on Saturday. So what we're going to do here is we're going to do a light breakdown of practice and qualifying for trucks. We're going to do a post-race recap. And we're also maybe going to do some post-Green Bay Packers Thursday night football versus the Washington, whatever they are, called now. And we might sprinkle some Big Brother recap in there as well. But breaking down the truck race, we've got Jake Garcia on the pole at Bristol, and we've got Corey Heim on the front row. So Corey Heim, Truck Series racer this year. I believe he has 8 or 9 wins already for the Truck Series. Absolutely total domination this year for that car. He's been amazing. He's got that manufacturer support, and he's been also just executing on pit row. He's got the best pits. He's got the best tires. He's got the best equipment. He's doing what he needs to do in the Truck Series to drive that thing to the front. And it's been absolutely awesome to see. We've also had already happening late this afternoon, we've had an ARCA race at Bristol that I bet you there were dozens of people in the stands and there were dozens of people watching this thing. But we had an ARCA race. And this was for the title. So we had Brent Cruz winning the ARCA race at Bristol. Trent McKee was second, and we had a title winner, non-top three, but he had enough points, and this was the last race of the ARCA East season. Congratulations, Isaac Kitzmiller, or Kitzmiller, depends on where you are in the country, how you pronounce that, but Isaac Kitzmiller, congratulations on winning that ARCA East title this afternoon over at Bristol Motor Speedway. So that kind of breaks down your Thursday afternoon action at the track. Trucks were on the track. We had ARCA on the track, and now we are currently prepping the track for the truck Thursday night race, and we will get into a little bit of that breakdown once it happens later this evening. We are back with a recap of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series second stage. So we have a lot of action going on here in this NASCAR race. Truck Series Friday night from Bristol. We broke part of this down earlier, but we are going to lock in and say Jake Garcia was your stage one winner. Corey Heim ended up P2. Ty Majeski, our Wisconsin boy, ended up in the top five. And your Green Bay Packers are up 7-0 in the first quarter.
Go, Pack, go!
Getting back to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race on Thursday night at Bristol Motor Speedway. Start of stage two, the number 18, Tyler Ankrum, goes around. And it looked like initially this was just a non-incident, a racing incident, but on replay, Caden Honeycutt runs into the number 18. He thought he had a big run. He thought he could drop down and pass him, but as happens at Bristol Motor Speedway, he just didn't have the room, and Honeycutt runs straight into the 18, runs him off the track, and spins the 18 down and around. Luckily, the 18 was able to keep it off the wall, and he was able to keep that thing out of the wall, keep it going, and a little bit of a racing incident, but not that big of a deal. So getting into stage three and the end of this Bristol Motor Speedway truck race on Thursday night, this might be a little bit of a racing preview for the rest of the weekend for Xfinity and truck. I absolutely hope not. Excuse me, Xfinity and Cup. I absolutely hope not, but we will see what the rest of this racing weekend looks like. Stage three here. Watching this while I watch my Green Bay Packers currently leading the Washington, whatever they are, 14 to something. We are winning. They missed a field goal. Life is good. We are going to quickly tidy up this truck breakdown on Thursday night and get back to football on my local antenna. We will not even plug what is streaming the NFL game because do not support the streaming bullshit. Fight back and we will get sports illegally, or we will watch them on the antenna. So stage three of this NASCAR truck race, getting off of my soapbox, we got Lane Riggs jumping out to the early lead in the sweet number 34 truck. He jumps out to a quick 5-second lead, and from there this thing was over. Bristol Motor Speedway, we've got the PJ1 that was applied on the first quote two lanes of the track. I am doing air quotes. None of you can see this because we are low budget. We are keeping this thing tight, and we are keeping it commercial free for y'all. So Lane Riggs, he's staying low on that PJ1 on the first two lanes. Next five drivers in line for this entire stage, absolutely no passing, except I will caveat there was a flip-flop between Corey Heim and Ty Majeski for P3 and P4. This didn't happen until five stages left in a very, very long, 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 long green flag run on the end of this thing, which I actually beloved. So your top five, we'll just break it down for the end of the race. We've got Lane Riggs, his third win this year in that number 34 yellow and black truck in the truck series. Rhodes, the 99, not a playoff driver. This is unbelievable. I cannot believe that Ben Rhodes did not make the playoffs this year in the truck series. Unlike Xfinity and Cup, only 10 guys make it in the Truck Series playoffs. So Rhodes, apparently he just didn't have a win, didn't have points. He did not make the playoffs this year, but he did finish this race in P2. P3, Corey Heim, the guy that will probably win the Truck Series playoffs. But a race like this in third place, that's not guaranteed. You have to continue to deliver in this playoff series that NASCAR has. Even for the Cup and the truck and the Xfinity, it's all different stages, different lengths, different number of races, but we will talk about that, I think, once we get to the Bristol race, because that's a cutoff race on Saturday night. Rounding out your top five, Daniel Hemric and Ty Majeski. Majeski was four, Hemric was five. A couple of other call-outs here for the truck series before we shut this thing down on a Thursday evening and get back to a little bit of football. Corey LaJoie, 10th place. Raja Karuth, a playoff driver in 16th, not good. Another playoff driver in 20th, Tyler Ankrum. Yikes, that is absolutely terrible. So we had a lot of guys in the playoffs. I'm looking at it right here. It looks like we only have got 6 to 7 of the 10 playoff guys in the top 20. So I don't even know where the other 3 to 4 guys finished. But man, outside of that top 20 in the playoffs, y'all are going to be dropping in the points, and they need to lock in the next round for the truck series, which I don't have the schedule in front of me. We don't care at this point. We're going to take a pause for this episode of The Big One, and we will get back to you on Friday night with Xfinity racing at Bristol Motor Speedway. Friday night racing at Bristol Motor Speedway after the Packers absolutely dominated on Thursday night football over the Washington Commanders. So we will get into the Xfinity race here on the Big One podcast. So Allgaier, the number 7, qualifies on the pole. My guy from Franklin, Wisconsin, Sam Meyer in the 41 in that sweet neon green and black car qualifies in second. So we get right into stage one racing here. The biggest thing here in stage one was Sammy Smith for JR Motorsports. His engine blows up. So a really, really tough start to the playoffs for Sammy Smith. Issues for him. He's going to be way, way set back in the points. Continuing on with this stage one, we've got a caution near the end. Jesse Love ends up getting into Corey Day. Kind of just a racing deal, not a whole lot there, but that brings out the caution. And we end up having a two-lap sprint for the end of the stage for stage one. Jesse Love, man, he's bringing this thing green for the end of stage one, and he totally blows it. He gets way up the track, gets blown by. So your stage one ended up Justin Allgaier P1, Connor Zilish, Mayer in third, Harrison Burton in fourth, and Jesse Love, after that major blunder, ends up squeaking out a top five stage win, which really didn't do a whole lot for him. It would have been better to have just stuck that low line on the restart, hit that PJ1 and ended up in the stage in P1, but ends up getting shuffled back and all the way out into the fifth position. Rolling right along into stage two of the Xfinity race on a Friday evening. So Sam Mayer takes the lead off of the restart early in this thing, and honestly, stage two was a lot of just driving around. It took about 50 laps into the stage until anything exciting actually happened, because a lot of it was just trying to catch up and catch some lap traffic. At the end of the day on this one, Mayer cannot navigate the lappers at the end of the stage. So literally Sam Mayer led every single lap for the entire stage of stage two at the Bristol race for Xfinity. I think it was 85 or 95 laps or something like that. And Mayer was just cleaning house. He was keeping Zilish behind him. He was doing what he needed to do. But then, man, Connor Zilish, this guy knows how to set up a pass, and he did a little feint low, runs high, Mayer runs into some lappers, and Connor Zilish goes up around the outside on the absolute last lap of stage two, and he takes the stage win. This guy is absolutely unbelievable. He is a fantastic race car driver. This guy might be the LeBron James of NASCAR. We have talked about this in the past. This guy has insane talent. He has racing craft. I think he's 19 years old at this point, and he's racing like he's a 25-year veteran. This guy, if you are a betting man, LeBron James of NASCAR, this is the guy to look out for. He is taking Daniel Suarez's ride next year in the Cup Series. I would put, I'm not a betting man, so I'm not even going to say this, but I would bet that this guy has a win in the Cup Series next year, because he is extremely good on the road courses. As we all know, we've seen him dominate in Xfinity. This guy has like 10 straight races where he's top five, which is insane. He's won something like 8 of the last 10 races in the Xfinity Series. And this guy is setting himself up really well to win the championship in the Xfinity in his first series, his first year in the Xfinity Series. Moving over into stage three of this race, we've got a caution while we are in commercial. This is my absolute favorite thing about NASCAR. We spend all this time building the narratives, who's in the lead, who's moving on, who's doing this, and then literally the race-changing thing happens while they are in the Cup Series. A lot of times it's full commercial. Xfinity, we are lucky to have side-by-side commercials. So while this was happening, Justin Allgaier, he comes in to do a little bit of a Hail Mary play because the tires weren't wearing at all. So we come out, and Eric Almirola is hunting Connor Zilish down after we come back to the green flag, and we've got another caution with 43 to go for, I'm going to put this in quotes, the announcer said Carson Ware. I don't know who that is, but apparently he was running outside of the top 30. And this guy does a little spinnerooski. He locks it down. Fortunately, nobody drives into him and brings out a bigger caution than this. There's no big one on this guy, as we would expect on the Big One podcast. I don't even know who this is. The number 43, Carson Ware. I tried to look it up, and I could not even figure out who this guy is. All I know is he must be related to Cody Ware, who cannot run a top 36 finish in the Cup Series to save his life. So you might have heard Big G call this out on a previous podcast, or it may have been just when we were at Kansas City at Kansas Motor Speedway. Big G goes, good God, Cody Ware, this guy is just spinnerooning on his own. He's out there like pretending he's a NASCAR Cup Series driver just because he might have funding. Like, this guy is pathetic. The Cody Ware driver in the Cup Series, I don't even know his number. He's so bad. I think it's 51. Check me on that. But he's always in the back of the pack. He's always causing cautions for the leaders to have to navigate around. And this guy is just absolutely terrible. Cody Ware, you're done. Relinquish the seat for someone who can hold a steady wheel and can complete 400 to 500 laps at a NASCAR race. Jumping right back in here to the Xfinity race at Bristol. So Connor Zilish comes in after that race and Sam Meyer stays out. We've got a good little battle coming up, and then hold on, we've got another caution, 26 to go. So Taylor Gray goes around, he holds it, it's all good, they re-rack, but this is getting wild. So we're going green with about 20 to go, and you've got Connor Zilish on fresh tires. And now, we didn't call this out when we said who came in, but Sheldon Creed, the double zeros, he also comes in and gets his fresh tires. So this is a guy who that we root for on the Big One podcast. We are big time fans of Sheldon Creed, and we're waiting for his first win in the Xfinity Series. So coming in on those fresh tires, you think with 20 to go, he comes out about P10. Zilish is P8. So both of these guys are going to have to run down a little bit of lap traffic, or not lap traffic, just old tires. And it's happening. We are coming down to it with 3 laps to go, and Sheldon Creed is working Connor Zilish over hard. He's on the inside of him. He's coming down. He's hanging on that PJ1, and he's making it stick. And we get to literally the last lap. So you've got the white flag coming out, Sheldon Creed coming in hard on Eric Almirola, who is in P1. He gets side to side on laps, turns 2 and 3 to 4, but he just cannot stick it on 3 to 4. And Eric Almirola wins the race. Sheldon Creed finishes second again. So this is a guy, he's always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And this is his 15th second place finish in the Xfinity Series. Rounding out the top 5, you've got Sam Meyer, we've got Love, and then we've got Connor Zilish ends up finishing in 5th, which is kind of interesting because he was right there with Sheldon Creed when Sheldon Creed was going for the win, but Zilish must have maybe just been told, hey, back down, finish in 5th, we'll get the points, and we'll win this championship if we continue to just race in the top 5 for this. So, wow. I was shocked how exciting this Xfinity race was from Bristol, because how bad the truck race was last night. Nobody could pass. I think what happened here for the Xfinity race is a lot of cautions at the end. Looking back at my notes for stage 2, literally nothing happened, right? We talked about it. Sam Meyer took the lead early. He led around for 80 laps, and then Zilich ended up kind of sneaking by him for a couple of lappers for the end of stage 2. But then stage 3, you had cautions, you had action, you had things happening. So end of the day, actually a pretty solid Bristol Xfinity race on a Friday evening. We'll probably take a quick pause. We'll play a little bit of Donkey Kong Bonanza. We'll probably do a little bit of local short track stuff at some point. I know Dell's Raceway Park has got action going on. We'll try to catch that on Flow. We will also be catching some Badger football action. They're going to be blasted by Alabama in the morning, which we'll probably just cruise right over. And then we're going to go ahead and watch the Bristol NASCAR Cup Series night race, which we're looking forward to. We'll see what happens with that tomorrow. But for now, we're going to take a quick pause, and we will get back at it tomorrow evening on the Big One podcast. Continuing our Bristol Motor Speedway episode of the Big One podcast, we are now moving into the Saturday Bass Pro Shops night race. This is seems like it could be a good one. It could be a bad one. We don't know because I think the entire thing is going to depend on what happens with these tires and if they're actually wearing or not. So before we jump into the racing action, we've got some live recap. So we wrapped up the Xfinity race last night, and while I was recording, I actually got a phone call from a friend, and he asked me if I wanted to go to shoot some pool, so we went over to this nice little spot over in the River West neighborhood called Art Bar, shot a couple games of pool. They had some live music going on. This is a really cool bar. They've got just tons and tons of art on the walls that you can buy. Good vibes at the bar. Ended up actually not even getting a drink. We weren't really feeling it. We just shot a couple games of pool. We watched the band, and then we kind of got out of there, I don't know, maybe around 11 o'clock or something like that, calling it an early night to get back after it today. So Saturday, college football rules the world on Saturdays, and my Wisconsin Badgers traveled down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide, and kind of knew that it was probably going to be a loss, but you just didn't want to get embarrassed. We ended up getting embarrassed. I think the final score was something like 38-14, and it was not even that close. I mean, the Badgers, I didn't see this. I was doing some other stuff, getting ready to roll out and do an afternoon at the beach, which we'll get into a second. Apparently, we scored like a 95-yard kick return touchdown for our first touchdown, and then it looked like maybe a garbage time touchdown in the second half for my Wisconsin Badgers. So taking the L, 2-1. I can honestly see them maybe winning 3-4 games this year. It's dark times here in the Badger State. Four-year Wisconsin Badgers, we don't need to talk about that any further. But we will say big, big win for the Georgia Tech team over Clemson. B-Boy would be very happy to be talking about that on this episode. So big shout-out to Georgia Tech. Good job. I believe they're team name is the Jackets or something like that. It's some sort of B. Pretty cool looking logo. So nice job taking down Clemson, who is overrated as they always are. This afternoon, then, instead of watching that horrendous football game for the Wisconsin Badgers, we went down to the beach. We got a 75 degree day in the middle of September. We're down there on court one at Bradford Beach. The dog flags are flying. We got about 15 to 25 people, and we're just playing volleyball all afternoon. So overall, super great day, stayed hydrated, and now we are getting into the Bristol night race. So let's just jump right into it. AJ Allmendinger is on the pole for this thing. Ryan Blaney is also on the front row starting second. And Big G's guy, Ty Gibbs, he is starting fourth. I actually texted Big G and joked that he'll probably be in 10th after the first lap because Ty Gibbs' restarts on some of these races this year have been just absolutely horrendous. Getting right into this thing, so stage one of the Bristol night race, Denny Hamlin immediately starts dropping like a rock. He cannot keep his car down on that strip of PJ1 that they laid down, and he is just dropping. He went from 5th to like 10th in maybe the first 5 laps of the race. So really interesting there, but then once he kind of settled in at 10th, he was fine. So it must have been just needed the car to loosen up a little bit, maybe warm up those tires, which we'll get into in a second, but let's just rip the Band-Aid off and talk about this thing. So 40 laps in, there's no rubber left on these tires. So Goodyear said that they were going to bring the softest tire for the right side that they've ever brought before. And we're absolutely seeing this right here in the first stage. So it's 30 laps in. Honestly, even 25 laps in, guys were coming in for tires, and we've got major cording. By the time these things got to 40 laps, there was no rubber left on the tires at all. We've got insane tire wear, and this is going to be a really good sign because you're going to have those experienced drivers who know how to save their tires up in the front, or maybe even just running mid-pack saving tires, while the young studs that haven't been up through the super late model ranks and don't know how to save a front right tire just kind of burn their stuff up. So middle of that first stage, Josh Berry, he had so much rubber built up that it actually started on fire. And he comes down to pit lane, and he can barely see. He couldn't even, like, align his car in his box. They start kind of putting the fire out, and a crew chief literally has to – not a crew chief, a pit crew member has to literally physically bear hug him and drag him out of the car. And you'd have to see a replay, but he kind of is a little bit wobbly on his feet, almost falls over, and then kind of just collapses onto, you know, that concrete wall that's between pit road and the infield, where all the kind of the garages are and all the parts and pieces are or whatever. So pretty scary incident there for Josh Berry. He did get out of the infield care center. They interviewed him. He's fine. He just said he got lightheaded because all of the smoke inhalation from that fire that was on his front left, it looked like. So a couple of more cautions there. Bowman goes around and spins, but then the end of stage one was fantastic. So Ryan Blaney, he's on fresh tires. Ty Gibbs is in the lead on old tires, and Blaney is just working his way up to the front in the last 10 laps of this stage. And he ends up using Daniel Suarez as a pick on the last lap, goes to the outside, gasses it up, and he gets the stage one win, effectively locking himself in the playoffs. Not a guarantee at this point, but getting those 10 stage points plus a bonus playoff point. Great strategy by Jonathan Hassler, his pit crew, his pit boss, whatever the hell it's called, crew chief. We'll get that terminology right here if we're on the big one. But awesome drive for Blaney there to get that stage one win. And stage two is coming up after this. Stage two, Bubba Wallace jumps into the lead, but Ty Gibbs gets him right back in just a couple of laps. So the lap times here at the start of stage two. So finishing off stage one, when we hit that awesome finish where Blaney squeaked by Gibbs on the last lap, they were running 16.2 second lap times. In the second stage here, most of the drivers up front were running 17.2. So 17.2 seconds around the track for the start of stage two. So we've got then a shot of Goodyear readying another set of tires, considering going from 9 sets to 10 sets of tires. But I don't know that's really going to matter. I mean, in that first stage, the tires were kind of lasting between 30 to 40 to 50 laps, depending on how the drivers are managing them. At the end of stage one, it seems like they could go like 50 to 60. And then midway through stage two here, we had some drivers running those tires all the way out to 65 to some guys 75 laps. So it doesn't seem like we should be releasing tires when a lot of the teams or a lot of the drivers have figured out how to really manage these things. We'll see how that goes as stage three plays on. But honestly, they haven't given them the other set. And stage two just ended halfway through this thing, so 250 or so laps to go of this 500 lapper. So I doubt they'll give them another set of tires. It would be kind of silly if they did, because that's going to mean that none of the tire saving is going to matter at all, and they can just go flat out. And I don't think that's what we're looking here. At least that's what I'm not looking at here as a fan of the sport. I think we should challenge these guys on the short tracks to manage their tires, because that's what's happening all across the country on Saturday and Sunday evenings. These short track drivers are managing their tires. If you can't do that, you're not going to win the race because you're going to burn your stuff up. So continuing on with stage two here, Ty Gibbs is looking really, really strong in stage two. And then SVG pulls a classic SVG. He spins with 13 laps to go in stage two, so he's done. Not going to have the playoff points to get through the round of 16. All those wins that he had on the road courses, it doesn't mean anything. You're gone. You can't win on an oval. You're not going to win a championship in NASCAR. So great season for SVG. winning all those races on the road courses. He is learning and he is getting better on the ovals, but man, Bristol seems like it just ate him up. He almost spun in stage one, then he does spin in stage two. Maybe you want to hit some more sim time on Bristol SVG because you're looking embarrassing out there. You're on Cody Ware level on this one. So coming to the end of stage two here, Ty Gibbs is able to bring this thing home, and he wins stage two for his third career stage win. Stage three, Bristol Motor Speedway. So much action. We are going to try to break down as much of this as we can. So it seems like NASCAR did end up giving them the extra set of tires, but apparently it takes them an hour to get a set ready for every team. So it was basically like an hour from when the broadcast said, yeah, they're starting to get the tires ready. And then it was like an hour later and they said, yep, all right, we're dropping the tires off of the team. So no idea what they're doing there. I think part of it is they've got to put like numbers on them, some sort of serial number, so they know what tires went to what team and they can track them. So it's all good. We've got tires. They're going to be able to run to the end of this race without having to just, you know, forfeit or retire. Early in stage three, Denny Hamlin kind of gets up into Nemechek, who ends up getting into Elliott, who was trying to come down in a line. And Elliott's car ends up getting killed. So he's definitely on the bubble. If he's going to make it into the round of 12 or not, we shall see. Very interesting interview from Chase Elliott. He goes, I don't know what happened there. I was just, you know, trying to get back in line. I thought the guy was, you know, running like 60% speed because he was on old tires. Ended up being that Elliott just kind of a racing deal. He got spun, hit the wall hard, and his car was killed. Funniest thing that came out of this on the TV broadcast was Chase Briscoe goes to his crew chief. Hey, is Elliott out of the playoffs? And the crew chief responds back, I'm not paying attention to any of that shit. We're trying to win the race out here. Lock in and let's go. I mean, that's an amazing quote from a crew chief, right? Because 500 laps on a short track, you can get distracted very easily. And the crew chief was like, dude, lock in. Who gives a fuck what happened with Chase Elliott? You're through to the next round of playoffs. But if we win this race, that's bonus round, bonus points for the playoffs. Let's lock in and let's win this thing. Moving on into stage three, Bubba Wallace runs out of tires, ends up getting in a Stenhouse because he had the hand out the window net, trying to get down into pit lane, and eventually a ton of cars stacked up on the inside. He couldn't get down, and he just goes, car wouldn't turn. So ended up just another racing deal with 1:43 to go. Continuing on in stage three, Kyle Larson has a right rear toe link just absolutely break. It breaks, his car snaps right, he's done. Same thing with Denny Hamlin. Wheel rotor, wheel something just breaks, wheel falls off, another caution. So middle of stage three, a little bit of a mix up. It's okay. Coming to closer to the end of this 250-lap stage three, Ty Gibbs is in the lead with 84 to go. Big G, unfortunately, is sleeping. We've got a bit of a family day going on tomorrow. Don't need to get into that on the pod. But then Gibbs, man, he fucks up. He misses pit road. He locks up his tires because he couldn't get down, skids them, goes up the track, and has to ride around for three more laps. And he just loses an absolutely massive amount of time while Chase Briscoe comes in, who was just in front of him for fresh rubber. This stage three has been absolutely wild. So Cindric's car's on fire. He's got to retire. Only eight above the cut line, and he cannot put that fire out. Right near after that, Cole Custer is super slow. Kessel bumps into him. Bubba gets slammed into the wall, and he is out. I mean, it's hard to keep up with stage three. I'm just looking at my notes. Like, there's so much happening. It's been absolutely ballistic. And wrapped up in all of this is the 48 Bowman. He's got a shot here at the... Getting into the end of the race at Bristol, wild restart with six laps to go. I don't know what took so long to get this thing going back green, but NASCAR doing NASCAR things, you've got to sit there and run 15 laps. After a minor spin with a nothing burger, so Carson Hocevar is in the control position. He's got a chance to win this thing. But him and Zane Smith on the front row, they decide to screw around. And the number 20, Christopher Bell, he ends up just jumping down low. And he wins the race very easily. So six laps to go, he passes him on the first lap and then just rides around and wins this thing very easily. So JGR locked in on this first three races of the playoffs. They go 1, 2, 3. They win all three. And they're through. So eliminated on this round. We're not going to do full read of the standings because we do not have new guy on the podcast. But your guys who have been eliminated are Dylan, SVG, Bowman, and Josh Berry. Unfortunately, Josh Berry, just really bad luck this entire playoffs. All three races, he had a mechanical issue and got knocked out. Bowman was kind of just his pit crew just kind of screwed him in the first two races. They made a change on this race, gave him a different crew. They were good, but he just lost so much from his crew screwing up on the first two races that he never had a chance. SVG is SVG, and Dylan is Dylan. No business being in the playoffs to begin with, so they're done. So those are the four guys out, and that is a wrap on your Bristol Bass Pro Shops Saturday night race. We will now get into some silly season news as we normally do, and a lot of this is going to be focused on the IndyCar season because NASCAR is still going, but we've got to recap some of the IndyCar silly season. So Colton Herta, he is leaving IndyCar to pursue a Formula One career again. He's announced to be the Formula Two Cadillac development driver. A lot of speculation about this, if he's just gonna do some F2 stuff to get his super license points, and then if he moves up to the Formula One Cadillac team next year to replace one of those two veterans. We shall see. We're very excited for Colton. Hope he does well over there in the Formula world. Moving over to IndyCar, Will Power got punted by Team Penske, an absolute joke in my opinion. But Will Power is moving over to the Andretti team. And then Penske obviously has an open seat. Everyone thinks it's going to be Little Dave. For those of you who don't know who Little Dave is, myself included, David Malukas, they think he's going to take the 12 over at Team Penske, but there's also some minor rumors that if Little Dave didn't hit his contractual requirements to hit that seat, we might have Rinus VK because he's no longer with Dale Coyne Racing and pursuing his own endeavors. So we shall see how the rest of this IndyCar silly season wraps up. Final thing for the silly season news, Haley Diggin, she epic fail in Indy NXT, was absolutely back of the pack, terrible, could not even handle the Indy NXT car, which is shocking because that thing has no power, it has no speed, and Haley Diggin's going back to the truck series, maybe with like the new Ram team or whatever, but this is just fucking embarrassing for motorsports in general. She's terrible. Bad driver. I don't understand what's happening here. She's obviously got funding, but let's move on. Back to the truck series, back to the back of the pack and truck series. Just terrible. Bonus review for you. Trading Paint, released in 2019. A little racing movie, a little dirt track action. John Travolta, the main star of this thing, I thought it was a very fun watch. Not a whole heck of a lot going on in this movie, but as a popcorn flick, it was pretty good. Initial rating, 3 out of 5 stars. On a rewatch, it would probably go down to a 2. We're going to wrap this thing up. We're not going to do new guy reads the standings because we just kind of talked about the playoffs. Everybody's kind of aware of who's moving on in NASCAR. This has been another episode of the Big One Podcast. You can always tweet us at @podcastbigone, and you can email us podcastbigone@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Big One Podcast.